Today on Real Life Radio.
How is it that you go book by book or verse by verse through a book of the Bible, but you make the messages relevant for the day in which we live in? And that was an easy answer. I said, because the Holy Spirit is relevant. That's the answer.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 4, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Nothing seems to stop Peter from living out his faith in Jesus Christ, not even his age. Peter is much older now than when he wrote his first letter to the church. Still, he's showing a determination that we all can take a lesson from. To have a resilient, unwavering, and effective kind of faith that can stand up against the godless age in which we live. Have you found yourself in a situation where you're being taken advantage of? We've all felt that to some degree when someone's presented themselves to be someone that they're not. Deception really can be found in every corner of the world. Peter was watching this happen in his day, where just as there are great opportunities to do good, there are the same opportunities for evil. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that just as there is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is the unstable, unholy trinity of religion, politics, and business. But contrary to the Holy Trinity, to get them to unite has proven to be pretty much impossible. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So today, because we've been reading through this section, I think up to now four times, we're going to abbreviate our reading by going to the area of where we're at today. In 2 Peter chapter 2, we've been covering verses 10 to 22, and we've been walking through what Peter is saying to the church regarding having combat faith, a faith that is resilient, a faith that is strong, a faith that can endure the attacks. And I love the fact that we're reading a 2,000-year-old document that is as though it was written for us today, that we might go out and navigate the dynamics of tomorrow. Incredible. Of course, it's the Holy Spirit who wrote the Bible. You say, how do you know? Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. You might say, well, I don't believe that. I think men wrote it. Well, that's why the Bible is still today, completely intact and before you to read, study, and to scrutinize. Listen, I encourage every one of you who's a skeptic, go after this book. Attack every doctrine of this book. In fact, this book is saying, come on. Come on, make my day. That's what the book is saying. And here's what happens. God winds up turning around and making your day. He winds up completely changing your heart and mind if you are an honest investigator. Remember that. And so what God says, he says to us today. I was asked this week on a national conference call, a Zoom call with a ministry, and they asked me to speak to many of America's pastors, and they asked, how is it that you go book by book or verse by verse through a book of the Bible, but you make the messages relevant for the day in which we live in? And that was an easy answer. I said, because the Holy Spirit is relevant. That's the answer. So he's going to be teaching us now yet again about false ministries, false churches, false pulpits, false prophets, false teachers. And we need to know this in the day and age in which we're in. Father, teach us out of your word, we pray, Almighty God. Lord, we may have all come here this morning with different needs or different ideas. Maybe some have been here from the beginning, and maybe some today's their first day. The great thing is, God, you know all of us. You know exactly how this word today will apply to each of our lives. As we mentioned earlier, the key is, are we willing? And are we intellectually honest with ourselves to let truth invade us? Father, spare us from trying to have the Bible tell us what we want it to say. May our hearts be ready. May our minds be engaged to have the Word of God speak into us. Heavenly Father, we pray for your transforming power. And in an age like this, I pray for those, Lord, that cannot be with us today, that you'd heal them, strengthen them, bless them. Lord, that you would move across this land of America. And Lord, that you would send all kinds of healings that are needed, physical healings, spiritual healings. Lord, our nation needs a healing socially, culturally. Lord, we need your touch upon our country. We're all becoming very keenly aware that the answer is not in the State House. It's not in the White House. The answer is in God's house. And we pray, Father, for your great move of your Spirit. Start with us, Lord, as you look across the nation. If you're going to start anywhere, we beg of you, God, start right here in Chino Hills, right where we're standing. May there be a spiritual epicenter of an earthquake that would sweep across this nation. Lord, save our land, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. In church, we're looking at this message, ongoing message that Lord willing will end today regarding what you and I really need to know about and the fact of who's out there in what is known as the spiritual world, the spiritual realm. Now, it doesn't take a spiritual Einstein to figure out that what we see in the physical realm is where spiritual truths and spiritual dynamics and falsehood are played out. We can get so fixated on this world materialistically that we forget that the Bible teaches us that everything physical around us is somehow rooted to a spiritual battle for either the powers of darkness or the powers of light. And as I've mentioned over and over again, the reward of those combatants on the eternal side is your soul. You think about that for a moment. Church, more than ever, sales has skyrocketed for home alarm systems. For good reason. People who can't afford home alarm systems, you know what they're doing? They're buying signs that say that their home is alarmed. Why? Because people are desperate. Our nation is being ripped at the seams, and lawlessness is abounding. Gun sales in America, every year it seems to be an all-time high. And of course, now again, it's an all-time high. Why? Because people are sensing that the system can no longer protect them. Your guard is up. And at times like these, always at times like these, there's the words that are being said, words that are spoken. And you need to be a very smart listener these days. Because like never before, there is always truth, but it is so shrouded with lies. And the lies have never looked better. They've never sounded better. And we need to be careful. We need to be very, very wise. But we've all, to some degree or another, all of us have been duped by a con man type of an attempt. It could be by some salesman. Could be by some neighbor. It could be by some fill in the blank. But the danger is out there in all areas. And I got to tell you, none the more dangerous than spiritual matters, because your soul is at stake. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, this is a good verse for our introduction today. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 says, Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth about false churches, false believers, and what's behind them. He says, for these are false apostles. You ever think about that? There's false apostles. Deceitful workers. Well, you want to ask Paul, how deceitful are they? Well, he's going to tell you. Transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Say, ooh, will you? Ooh, wow. That's amazing. False apostles doing false ministries, no doubt, in false churches, but they are empowered by the deceiving powers of Satan himself. And we're living in those days. The Bible teaches us right here that they're going to receive their just reward according to their works. Amen. Listen, there's three areas that predominantly are the breeding ground, or I should say the playground, of lies and deception. You might be surprised, maybe not. There's three things globally, and it's always been the case. These are the three unstable members of an unholy trinity that's constantly under attack. Number one is religion. Satan infiltrates religion, the trappings of religion, to bring about deception. But what if somebody's not into religion? Oh, that's okay. He's got another plan, politics. He will get people engaged in politics with the motive that somehow they're going to usher in a utopia. It's never going to happen. And in that realm of power, there's politics. And we're in that realm of politics, there is satanic powers. And of course, there's powers in religion. And there's also powers in the third one, and that is business. Business. Think about all the businesses that there are in the world that are needed to cause a community or a nation to function. And Satan moves among businesses. If you have a doubt in that, you ought to take a look at what's going on with companies like Google. Now they own YouTube, but you've got Google, you've got Microsoft, you've got Amazon. You've got these giants in the world that have come together to coalesce in a thinking that nothing else is needed anymore by way of any other forms of stores. We're going to put everybody out of business, and we will become this global conglomeration, this fellowship of economic engines. And to do what? To control. Satan seems to be out at this hour against the church. Listen, I want to read to you a quote by Lord Acton to Crichton in 1887. You're going to recognize it here in a moment. Lord Acton writes to Bishop Crichton that, and I quote, "The same moral standards should be applied to all men, political and religious leaders included, especially since, here it comes, powers tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." And Satan knows this. And so we've been looking at the dynamics very quickly. I'm going to go faster than what we can write them down about. The first thing that we looked at was the fact that these men operate in pride, and you've been learning about that, verses 10 to 14. We learn that they are a forsaken lot. The Bible shows us that here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Last week we saw that they are a destructive group, that the third thing is destructive, that the ones who are out deceiving, they're proud, they're forsaken by God, and they are destructive. And this is where we left off in verse 17. We learned that they are incapable of refreshment. Verse 17 says, "For they are wells without water." Remember that? What are those? Five words? One, two, three, four, five. We spent the entire day, Sunday's sermon last week, on those five words because of the incredible danger. That the Bible warns us that these religious leaders duping people, they're wells without water. And we talked about how deceiving a well is without water. Remember that. The second thing we see right now, we go on, we pick it up, is that he says that there are clouds carried about by a tempest. They are clouds that are driven by the wind is what's implied, clouds. Dear church family, when you see a cloud, what do you assume from the cloud? Rain. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted you to say. Why? Because number one, the reason why you know that is because it is a scientific fact. I love that. The God of the Bible is the same God of science. When you see a cloud, you ought to know what a cloud is for. Clouds are amazing. I happen to love clouds. I'm kind of a cloud freak. I mean it. You think I'm joking? Ask my family. I can name any type of cloud that's out there. I can tell you what's going on inside of those clouds, and I can tell you what clouds to fly through, and I can tell you what clouds not to fly through. And you've even experienced that in your commercial traveling. But he presents a contrast. There's a well, it's got no water, and a cloud. The first one's bad enough, a well without water. But a cloud, by the very structure, Peter is raising the warning because a cloud is actually made of water. A well can be out of water. A well is made of stone. A well is a hole. the water is to be in that. Oh, but listen, there are those that are in the ministry that are so deceiving that they're like a cloud. A cloud's made of water, but there's nothing worse than a cloud passing over your head in a time of drought and it gives you nothing. It's called California. By the way, we're so spoiled. We want rain coming out of our sprinklers. We don't want rain coming out of the cloud because it might get our car dirty. No, God brings rain as a blessing. The cloud assumes a blessing. And Peter is saying, watch out. You can see a cloud, can't you? Yep. And you assume that there's water coming, right? Yes. Why? Because the cloud is made out of water. But it doesn't give anything. Not these guys. They don't give anything up. It's remarkable. I did some reading. I probably goofed it up, but I don't know how they do this, but meteorologists have determined that the average cloud, how can you determine an average cloud? I don't know. They have. But they have determined that the average cloud that's floating in the air carries a minimum of one to two tons of water. Is God not amazing? Can you imagine? God says, I need to get water from the Pacific and I need to drop it over in Salt Lake City. How am I going to get it there? I know, I'll float it. Is that awesome? He'll move it. You can go to a ministry, you can hear a message, you can read something and you're hungry, you're thirsty, you're looking for hope, but it doesn't water your soul. And that's how these false ministries are. They don't minister to your soul. They go through all of the manipulation of getting you around them or listening to them, but they give nothing. This implies that false prophets and false teachers literally know the truth, but they refuse to give it up. Think of that. It was bad enough that there's an empty well that cannot give you water, and there's empty ministries that cannot nourish your soul. But then there's a cloud, and the cloud being made out of water comes right over your head, but it passes right by. And most scholars agree that what Peter's teaching about is the fact that these are those who know the truth. They're in the ministry, but they know the truth, but they don't believe it. Man, that's frightening. Look at verse 17, it continues. It says, for whom, that's those, is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. They have a reservation in hell, these false teachers, false prophets. Here's the amazing thing. Don't feel bad for them. I'll tell you why. They don't believe in hell. Go ask them. There's false teachers in evangelicalism. They don't believe in hell. All of the cults, all of them combined do not believe in hell. What do you think of that? You know who talked about hell more than anybody in the New Testament? Jesus. You know why Jesus went to the cross? So you wouldn't have to go to hell. He doesn't want you there. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his fallen angels. But people go to hell every day. Why? They're either led astray or they want to be. Or they themselves refuse to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth's in front of them, but they don't want it. The fact that Jesus died on the cross for them, they don't want it. They see that as an offense. They see that as weakness or something. No, look at the Bible says, without apology, there's a reservation being held for them in hell. Wow. I'm breaking this up a little bit. This word about reserved, it means that it is specialized, custom. Their name is there. Remember the Bible tells us that our name, when we come to Christ, our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can you imagine that there's a place in hell in some ledger that has the name of that person that's going to inherit hell, reserved? Well, according to the context, we're talking about false teachers and false prophets. They have their name written in hell. Personal observation here, maybe some comfort, is the fact that this is going to maybe sting a little bit, but I wrote it down so I wouldn't mess it up. When you and I are ripped off or wronged by some of these charlatans, for example. We want God to judge that individual or that system right away. We want to see them suffer for what they have done by inflicting pain on you or on others. We want justice, and I understand that. We all understand that. It's bad enough to get ripped off, but it's really nasty and dark when it's done with religious trappings. I talked to a woman not too long ago who spent her life being molested by her local priest. It's a miracle she believes in God at all. Thank God she does. That hurts deeper. That hurts more. And you want justice. I understand that. When's God going to do something? I understand the emotion. I'm with you on that. But then you and I've got to take a deep breath and consider this. Notice that human justice is often terribly flawed, pathetic, and it rarely renders true justice. Have you noticed that? But there's a divine justice, according to the Bible, that's coming. It is pure, it's holy, it's perfect, and it's exact. See, you and I want something to be done now about the pain that was inflicted against us. I get it. God is saying to us, just wait. I've got something better coming on. Just wait. Just wait. That person that robbed you, that person that ripped you off, they're false believers. They're false brethren. They're false pastors. They're false prophets. I'll deal with it in my time. And we say, no, God, deal with it now. I want to see blood and guts in the street, God. Come on. And he says, just wait till I, just wait. Vengeance is mine, he says. I will repay. And this is one of the great lessons as a Christian. Stop defending yourselves. You know, with all the threats that's coming against us as a church, of course I'm rehearsing in my mind what I'm going to say to the judge. Of course I've rehearsed it 1,000 times about getting cuffed by the officers and taken down to the station, because of course I'm rehearsing this in my mind. And the whole time is, I want to be like Martin Luther. I want to be like Paul when it happens. I want to just go like this, and I want to be pronouncing blessings on the officers, and I want to stand before the judge and say, Your Honor, you know, and I want to give this incredible like Caesarea plea before, and you know. Now that's my mind, and it goes from an honest prayer to, this could be cool. And then I wake up to the reality is I love my freedom too much. But when something's done against you, you want action now. The fact of the matter is we want justice. We want to be vindicated. Christian, listen, you and I have got to rest in God and rest in the fact that God might say, I'm not going to vindicate you, Jack, until the day of judgment. The wrong that has been done to you is going to look like the guy got away with it until the day of judgment. And you got to be okay with that, Christian. We hate that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 4. Thanks for joining us today. What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 4, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, like Peter, we're living in perilous times. Our thoughts and emotions really can get out of hand at times. Now, more than ever, we struggle to keep our thoughts of ourselves and our emotions in check. But Peter understood the power of encouragement, comfort, and instruction. It's why Pastor Jack offers the Real Life mobile app. With the app, you'll have instant access to all sorts of things that Pastor Jack has to offer. You can access the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app through the App Store or through our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.